The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning on this Friday. Fascinating last few weeks, huh? You know, as I just started thinking during the top of the hour after the last caller, told us and said, look, I'm voting because, I don't believe that, popular opinion or, should, substitute for, the presumption of innocence and due process. And I started thinking about it when, you and I said, last hour, the one thing that I got out of the whole Kavanaugh thing is the Democrats were trying to sell us that if you believed in due process and the mindset of due process and that the accusation alone isn't enough and you disagreed with them with this message, think about this, that if you don't believe the accuser, no matter what, if you believe that not the allegation but the evidence is what should be the determining factor, then you are an enabler of a rapist, of a gang rapist. That's what they were trying to sell us. Think about that. And that's why after he made, when he said, he's voting because of that, that I started thinking just in our popular culture that all the different lawyer shows from Perry Mason to Matlock to Law and Order from, because I think Law and Order started what, in 89? 89 or 90?
Yes, 1889. Before television.
but you think of all the lawyer shows out there.
Right.
That, and so when we talk about the fact of the ignorance of the American public, ignorance does not mean stupid. Now, the Democratic leadership may think people are stupid. We believe people may be uninformed. We don't believe people are stupid and never had, have. Ignorance simply means you lack the facts. It doesn't mean that you can't understand the facts and you can't go search for the facts or that you're dumb. It simply means you don't have the facts for whatever reason.
Yes, I will say I do believe some people are stupid, like those Republicans who made my taxes go up. But other than that,
other than that, we don't have a problem with them. No, we have a problem with we have a problem with everybody. Let's be honest.
Oh, trust me.
But and so but think about this. The Democrats are trying to sell to the American public after how many decades of television shows pounding lawyer shows at us over and over again, where it has become absolutely crystal clear to any American out there, you need evidence before you convict somebody. Mm-hmm. They're saying no. That, think about that. That's their biggest push going into an election, midterm election, is the fact that no, evidence doesn't matter. Only the allegation matters. Mm. Evidence doesn't matter. Really? That's what you're trying to sell the American public. And that's why when the last caller, just the way that he explained it, that no, you don't go, public opinion doesn't decide. Public opinion does not decide the guilt or innocence of anybody. It's the evidence. And so everybody should get due process. But the incredible thing is due process under the law and the presumption of innocence, number one, that the ACLU used to be about completely, that they've just thrown in the trash, has been something that liberals have been. It's been, if you look at liberals going back, I don't know, I'll just talk about in my time span, going back to the 60s. The presumption of innocence, due process under the law. It is liberals that have been pounding that as one of their top issues. And all of a sudden in 2018, let's throw this out with the, let's throw this in the garbage. Mm-hmm. This doesn't matter anymore. And I thought that was really interesting. So it popped into my mind just to explain it a different way when that last caller made his point, and a great point that he made. You know, when we talk about some of the House races, I want to bring this up. because we've talked about, it's very tough to figure out what's going on in House races, because House races can be, you know, quite different than maybe a Senate race that might be based all on the national politics at that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
Check this one out. Everybody is on this now since the poll came out yesterday, the Miami or the Mason-Dixon poll published by the Miami Herald. Democratic House candidate Donna Shalala, remember her?
Yeah.
From the Clinton administration, mm-hmm. is in a dead heat with the Republican challenger, Maria Elvira Salazar, in the race for Florida's 27th congressional district, according to a new poll. Shalala now trails Salazar by 2 percentage points, according to the latest polling. You're talking in a district that Hillary won by 20 points in 2016. 44% of likely voters in the district said they would support Salazar, while 42% said they would support Shalala, a difference that falls within the poll's margin of error of plus or minus 4%. 13% of likely voters said that they were undecided. Salazar, a popular Cuban-American former broadcast journalist, and Shalala, who served as Health and Human Services Secretary in the Clinton administration, are facing off to replace a retiring Republican in the Miami-based district, but one that Hillary Clinton won by nearly 20 percentage points in 2016.
Yeah, this is really interesting here, because you apply this, I guess, you broaden out, right, to the other 32, or, well, the other 31, because it's this district, Florida 27, is one of those in the RCP toss-up category of a total of 32 right now toss-ups. But you're going to start seeing that momentum in one direction or the other, and we're going to start seeing the real numbers here over the next couple of weeks as more of those undecideds move. Those are your, it's so funny, the undecideds ultimately are the deciders, right? People who can't make up their mind yet will finally make up the mind and win the election for one or the other. I mean, that's how it works, right? Mm-hmm. But here's what you ask yourself, as you pointed out, often different than a Senate race, because the Senate race, you know, covers an entire state. And if you to look at a state like Texas, for instance, or Florida in a Senate race, then it becomes, you know, very different. The Washington politics comes into it in the Senate race, but not always in the district. I mean, you really have to, it's a real boots on the ground effort in the districts.
Well, I just wonder if Salazar is using in her ads the fact that Donna Shalala was the president of the Clinton Foundation from 2015 to 2017. Now, I don't even know if that would have any effect on a congressional race to begin with. I don't even know if that's important to people anymore. Russian collusion. Nobody's talking about it. That's gone. Mm-hmm. After that issue being pounded at the American public for 2 years straight.
You know what else is gone?
Gone.
This district, Hillary won.
Yes.
On the national scale, people on the left have to admit it was their chance to vote for, and remember, there was always a 95% chance she was going to win. They thought they were going to be part of history. It really wasn't about Hillary. For some, it was about being able to say, I helped to elect and put into office the first woman president. That driver is gone. I mean, there's no presidential race here, but the point being, you look at the districts that she won, and things have changed for Trump in some areas. But it's based on something, and it's based on his, you know, so far short history as president, but very active short history as president. And it's not based on, and think about it. The euphoria created by the first black president cannot be denied. By the way, it's not Bill Clinton. Barack Obama. That euphoria that was there. We even had someone that we knew, you and I, a mutual friend, that said, but, you know, you look at it and it was that cool feeling. This person is a conservative. Didn't vote for Barack Obama, but was basically drawn into that euphoria. And we always said, well, wait a minute. You have the celebrities going out and creating these, you know, Ron Howard and a.k.a. Opie, doing a 10-minute video and never talked about the qualifications of the individual. If it were me that he were endorsing, I would have gone back and said, hey, do you mind mentioning me and not the color of my skin? Because his entire endorsement was centered around the color of the skin.
Well, but the political, you and I look, maybe when I was a teenager, maybe in my 20s, mm-hmm. maybe I bought into a little bit of political idolatry, but even then I didn't.
Well, no.
I'll be honest with you. I really have never been impressed with anybody, including myself.
Oh, trust me. I'm not impressed with me. I think we all know why.
But seriously, I mean, it wouldn't matter. I mean, I've met... I was never an autograph seeker. I didn't care about, you know, those things at all. I never viewed anybody who was, whether they were in the movies or whether they were an actor or whether they were in Hollywood or whether they were in politics. I just never bought into any hype. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I got that from, but I end up in the media. I never bought into really any hype at all. So when I saw the political idolatry with Obama, mm-hmm. even when I've seen it with Trump, I'm like, oh, come on. We're mm-hmm. adults here.
Mm-hmm. But the euphoria is different when someone thinks they're going to be a part of history. They can wear that badge for themselves.
Yeah.
That is a different type of motivator.
Oh, it is.
Because
I agree with
you
completely.
You know,
yeah.
they will,
yes.
You know, to, well, I can look back and tell my grandkids that I was part of this, right? That it was historic in nature. I don't deny the historic part of it, but I also don't, I don't look to be, I'm going to be a part of American history. You know, I don't look to be a part of American history. You know what I mean? I'm going to make my mark. I make my mark with the people who are important in my life. Now, they have a long list of grievances with me, but that's not
no,
the point.
No, your point is that doesn't exist right now.
Well,
politically,
this is why, getting back to the RCP thing and the fact that they point out that, you know, Shalala is not, you know, way ahead. Hillary won. Well, there's one part of it, just one part of it, that is, you know, euphoria that really was alive on... Well, up until the evening of Election Day. And they were practically themselves holding the parade. They really were celebrating already on Election Day before the numbers came in. And so that euphoria isn't there. You know, Chuck Todd doing, you know, his analysis and everything on all of that. You can't really apply history, especially the 2016 election, when you're talking the presidential race. You have to look in those House and Senate races, you have to look at either the last midterm or separate the presidential race of 2016 from the House and Senate races of 2016. Yes, after the first midterm that any president goes through, there often is a shift.
Right.
So you can apply that generally speaking, and we may just see that in the House. But don't count it just yet.
866-90-RED-EYE.
In addition to being required by law, pre- and post-trip inspections are vital to the safety of professional drivers. Conducting thorough pre-trip inspections allows you to catch any problems before heading out on the road. post-trip inspections give the shop time to react to any problems that were identified. During your next pre- or post-trip inspection, check all safety equipment, including fire extinguishers, triangles, and spare fuses, to make sure they're in the proper location. In the event an emergency responder is trying to locate the fire extinguisher, it's crucial that it's in the proper place and easy to find. TA Truck Service understands the importance of these inspections. If you find any issues during your own pre- or post-trip inspection, stop by a location near you to have your vehicle looked at by one of our expert technicians.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Roger in Texas. Roger, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Hi. Second time, long-time listener, second-time caller.
Thanks.
About the Kavanaugh spectacle, what I've been calling it, Kavanaugh confirmation spectacle. Regarding the moderate Republicans, the head in the sand, go along to get along, they have woken up, and I'm wondering if this is an apt analogy. I'm not trying to be inflammatory, but in the same way that the U.S. was not aware that they were under attack by Islamic extremism terrorists until 9/11, you know, they had the Beirut bombing, they had the Trade Center in 93. They weren't really woke up and aware until 9/11 happened. In the same way, I don't think that the moderate Republicans were aware that that extreme left-wing extremism is at war with conservatism until last week.
Not only conservatism, just anybody who is opposite them even politically, it's not necessarily ideologically, but no, I don't think it's inflammatory what you said, because remember, in the 9/11 commission, which was put together a bipartisan, they said the problem with the United States was they were at war with us and we weren't at war with them.
Right.
And that was and so that came from the 9/11 commission. So there's nothing inflammatory about that.
And I think your analogy, I think if you look at that, I think it's correct that the Republicans, many of them in the center, now are clearly no. I mean, think about this, when you have Lindsey Graham and Susan Collins being the ones who were that really carried, not so much with Collins, but certainly Lindsey Graham carrying the conservative torch, that's when you see definitely that awareness is in full play now. And that's where you also see Lindsey Graham saying, well, I'm going to campaign anywhere and everywhere I can, purple states and everywhere else.
I think you have to include Susan Collins in that mix.
Well, I do.
The two that will be remembered, though, for this confirmation.
In terms of their mark on this event, no doubt. Her speech, for the most part, no doubt. She didn't carry it the way I guess Lindsey Graham did, but yeah, I would. She would. That I wouldn't have seen coming. I could have seen, if you were to ask me maybe weeks out and told me of the situation coming, I could have still seen a Collins going, well, no, I'm going to vote no, and then a Heitkamp voting yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that would have been, or somebody, if you would have told me that's what's going to happen, I would have said, oh, okay, I see it.
By the way, we never talked about Heitkamp's explanation that she made her decision by turning off the TV and watching just his body language.
Right, yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just kill yourself, will you, if you just give yourself no chance now of winning in North Dakota after that statement.
Yeah, politically... You know, like, that was pretty much cutting the string, because then you see the whole, downward spiral that continued after that, you know.
The Bona Show.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So much to talk about here, the elections, just a little over 3 weeks away. By the time we come back from vacation, it'll be just right at the two-week mark, and probably a lot more polls will come out. Still haven't seen a lot of polls post-Kavanaugh confirmation,
right?
Post-Kavanaugh votes, so it'll be interesting to see how those develop here over the next week or so. Also, a little talk on Kanye West at the White House. Let's head to you, and we go to Paul in New York. Paul, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hello, Paul.
Paul is not there. Thank you. We go to Frank in New York. Frank, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi. Hello, Frank.
All right.
Frank is not there, so we have some kind of problem with our phones, so hang on. We'll see if we can get that fixed up. So hang on here. I dropped.
Did you drop the phone?
I dropped everything.
Oh.
No, I dropped all my stuff here.
Okay.
So.
You good now?
Yeah.
We'll
see if we can get the problem with the phone corrected here. But in other news, the U.S. Postal Service has proposed a series of price hikes, including for a package delivery for the package delivery program used by Amazon. But the agency denied that the increases have anything to do with President Trump's frequent attacks of the company. The changes announced Wednesday include an increase of up to 12% for the Parcel Select service. Large shippers like Amazon use that option to complete the final leg of delivery for packages, but the extent of the impact on Amazon was not immediately clear. Amazon, like other bulk rate users of the Postal Service, negotiates a special rate with the USPS that is not publicly disclosed. Amazon declined to comment on the price hikes, and the Postal Service declined to answer questions about any potential impact on the company. The increases for Parcel Select were steeper than in previous years. USPS said the new rates are a result of a regular review process and are set to take effect on January 27th, subject to approval from the Postal Regulatory Commission.
All right.
Trump has repeatedly alleged that Amazon is to blame for the Postal Service's financial woes and accuses the e-commerce giant of ripping off the agency and treating it like a delivery boy. The president created a special task force in April to examine the Postal Service's business models, sparking speculation that he would use it to raise shipping rates on Amazon. Trump equates Amazon with the Washington Post, which is owned by Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, and is a target of Trump's anger about media coverage. So there you go.
Yeah. All right.
This is from Politico.
Okay.
Then again, if they have a long-term deal with them, they're not affected by it.
Right. If that you know, a pricing deal is in place, and look at what Bezos has done. Not, I mean, just in general, if you talk about his supply chain, his delivery chain from A to B, A to Z, I guess, it was clear that when he started making large purchases on his freight company, that he was going to be doing more of his own delivery. And so while he can't do it all, because you have, I don't know what the number is in terms of overall numbers of sellers on Amazon. The point being is that there are things coming from all over the world that are sold on Amazon, and so it would be impossible for, although Bezos has done other things that people didn't see coming, I don't think anytime soon he will control completely his own freight. But he is doing that more and more, and that was to shut out more and more the FedEx and UPS delivery that was costing him more and more, but costing the consumer more and more. And he said, this is not about shutting out the little guy. It, in fact, is about creating more opportunity for the little guy. And now you can go out and get your own local delivery, buy your own local delivery, set up for Amazon and buy the vans and everything else and be a part of that. And there's opportunity there. It was about creating basically the ability, more and more to control pricing, to keep prices low. on Amazon, according to Bezos. The USPS thing, if prices get too expensive and it's costing, you know, the company to raise prices on Amazon, they do one of two things. Get rid of that agreement and go and move away from it, or they pass it along to the consumer. Plain and simple.
This news item, the co-founder of the opposition research firm behind the Steele dossier. Mm-hmm. For those of you that are brand new listeners, we'll do it very quickly because we can do it very quickly and update you so you understand completely what we're talking about. The Democrats accused the Trump campaign of colluding with the Russians to hack and or change the outcome of the election.
Mm-hmm.
The evidence we have found out is it's just the opposite. The DNC and the Hillary campaign paid a law firm, Perkins Coie, who paid an opposition research firm, Fusion GPS, who paid the former British spy, Christopher Steele, who got information, he says, from the Russians close to the Kremlin in order to change the outcome of the election by getting unverified, salacious allegations against Donald Trump that they were going to use to kill his campaign, and when they couldn't do that, they wanted to use in order to destroy the legitimacy of the 2016 election. They also use that information as a basis to get a secret warrant against the Trump campaign while the campaign was actually going. So you know, you see Fusion GPS was a part of it. Well, the co-founder of the opposition research firm, Glenn Simpson, will invoke his First and Fifth Amendment privileges to avoid testifying before Congress next week, his lawyer has told Congress. According to The Hill, Simpson's attorney told House Judiciary Chairman Bob Goulet that Simpson will not appear for a deposition because the congressional investigation is not designed to discover the truth. Really, no. The Virginia Republican subpoenaed Simpson on September 29th. After the lawyer said his client would not appear voluntarily for an interview before members of the House Judiciary and the House Oversight and Government Reform Committees. Simpson's firm, Fusion GPS, was hired during the 2016 presidential campaign by the law firm that represented the DNC and the Clinton campaign. Fusion GPS hired former British spy Christopher Steele to conduct an investigation into Donald Trump's possible links to Russia. The result of the probe was a 35-page report alleging collusion between the Trump campaign and the Kremlin. Republican lawmakers are interested in the dossier, largely because the FBI reportedly relied on the unverified document to obtain surveillance warrants against former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page. So, of course, the lawyer is going to say you're not trying to get to the truth. Well, then what does the lawyer say they're trying to find?
Are they going to ask
him about his personal taxes? I don't think
right,
so.
Right.
Are they going to ask him about who he believes is the best running back ever in the National Football League? If you were listening earlier to the show, you understand why I brought that up. I don't think so. What are they going to ask him about?
Kanye.
Well, they're going to ask him about Kanye West? Probably not. They're probably going to ask him about Fusion GPS and their role in the entire flowchart of the Democrats and the Hillary campaign colluding with the Russians to change the outcome of the election.
So here's my question, thinking of Fusion GPS. Bruce Orr's wife was employed at Fusion GPS.
Yes.
The Inspector General's office of the Department of Justice, where Bruce Orr was employed as an associate deputy attorney general, the Inspector General would have then access to any communications, if they're still there, between Bruce Orr and his wife, yes. If there were any to begin with, and if they're still there, the Inspector General gets them for the asking.
Does he? Oh, he would. He yes, from the Department of Justice.
Yes,
he would. Yes, yes. Because
if they were done internally, if they were done on an official device from the Department of Justice. And again, if those are that's a number of ifs.
Right.
By the way,
right.
The point being is that you look at all the in this case, basically it's a block because Fusion GPS doesn't want to cough up the truth. They have no interest in doing that. But. So how would you find it otherwise? Well, part of that would be looking into Bruce Orr, his involvement with, professionally, possibly, with his wife. And if there were any communications, I think the number one thing you would do, the first thing you would do, is you would look to see if there were any communications during that time and if they were on those devices, if they're still preserved in any way.
We know you have the right to claim the Fifth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to incriminate yourself.
Yes.
And we understand that.
Mm-hmm.
What I would wonder is Glenn Simpson's lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
What is he worried about? If they aren't, let's take him at his word that the House Judiciary Committee and the House Oversight Committee aren't trying to get to the truth.
Right.
Then I would ask his lawyer, then what do you think they are going after?
Right.
If they're not, well, look, is part of what they, hypothetically, is part of what they are concerned with is the same thing as a Mueller investigation? The Mueller investigation has had nothing to do with actual Russian collusion with the Trump campaign.
Right.
So that would be the question. Are you worried because of where the Mueller investigation is going is that the same thing might happen to you? That there was nothing wrong, that you did nothing wrong. And I don't know. I don't see any crime from what I know of Fusion GPS committing any crime. I don't know of one. I don't know where there's any evidence of it. You know, concerning, you know, gathering the information and getting the money from Perkins Coie. They're an opposition research firm. That, just on the level, is that's what you do. You get dirt on the other party's candidate or whatever. You do opposite. Well, what they do, opposition research, is self-explanatory. So what is he worried about? What would they be? What possible crimes is Glenn Simpson's lawyer worried about?
Well, the timing is interesting.
Look, I say this because Donald Trump Jr., I'll testify. I'll go under oath. There are plenty of people that go under oath.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the crime that he is that what is the charge that Glenn Simpson's lawyer, if you talk to him privately, would be concerned about, even if he believes his client did not commit a crime? Where does he think they're going to try to prove that Glenn Simpson committed a crime? And why would they be going after Glenn Simpson?
Or is there someone else there at Fusion GPS he's worried about? And by talking, forget about incriminating himself, he's incriminating his firm.
Yes. Those are the questions that... those are questions any investigator would have running through their mind,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
That's all. We're not indicting anybody.
Yet.
I'm sorry,
was that out loud?
Yes, it was out loud.
Oh, sorry.
The mic was on. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Quickly, let's go to Phil in Alabama. Phil, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
In regards to the Justice Brett Kavanaugh issue and allegations, what every American voter needs to do is take that to the polls with them and ask themselves the questions. What if that were me? I was due a promotion or I was getting another job with another company. Somebody decided they don't want me to have that. All they got to do is make allegations, and then I'm dead in the water.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's just totally wrong.
Right. Yeah. If the allegation is the only evidence that is needed, and that's what the left and the Democrats have been trying to sell the American public, that the allegation is enough. And if you don't believe the allegation, if you ask for evidence, that evidence is what how you will come to your decision, then you are viewed as a rapist enabler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a message they've been throwing out. I don't think I'm exaggerating that at all.
Well, no,
embellishing that at all.
I think that is, if you look at it, the bigger picture where people now are being condemned and maybe not don't have anyone literally in their face pointing a finger at them. But if you supported Kavanaugh and believe just in the process alone, well, you were part of, again, that group that was a rapist enabler. So they're pointing the finger at rank and file Americans.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. In the news today...
Let's stop worrying about the future. All we really have is today. We just have today, over and over and over again, the eternal return, the hero's journey. And Trump is on his hero's journey right now. And he might not have expected to have a crazy like Kanye West run up and support. But best believe, we are going to make America great.
So there you go. Kanye West just has everybody on the left totally freaking out. His visit to the White House yesterday.
Yes.
He's been called everything.
Here's the thing. We pull back from this, 10 years from now, Trump writes the book. Well, I basically just hired Kanye. You can hire the Rolling Stones to do a corporate gig. You can actually do that. Now, it's going to cost you a ton of money, but I've seen it actually done. Can you imagine Trump just paying out of his own pocket just to mess with the media? And say, okay, look, Kanye, this is going to get you a ton of publicity, but I'm also going to pay you a ton of cash. Just go out and say these things. Keep saying them. Look, that's not what's being done here, but wow. The media's reaction, just going over the top like they have been doing in the last, for some reason, year and 10 months, and it's just ramping up. Reacting to Kanye one way or the other, I was actually thinking, if Conway Twitty were still alive, they could go on the Kanye and Conway tour. That was another odd thought of mine.
Yes,
yeah,
very odd.
Very odd.
Go ahead, continue.
The wide range of genres there. But if... It doesn't matter whether Kanye's saying, George Bush hates black people after Katrina, or, I support Trump. The one valid thing that he has said in all of this that is, in and of itself is correct and true, is that people should be able to make up their own minds, and it doesn't matter who they are, what walk of life they come from. They shouldn't be judged negatively because they decide to vote for one person or the other. He said that on Kimmel, I believe.
Based on your skin color.
And it shouldn't be based on your skin color.
Right. And that's what it gets down to is when you look at this and the left has been just freaking out over this, calling him, saying he's being exploited by Trump. Trump is using him as if Trump is the master and Kanye is the slave. I mean, everything that came out of CNN, Don Lemon show.
Yeah.
One of the guests saying that he was, the token Negro, quote, token Negro, end of quote.
Yeah.
And it's just, we've talked about this before. This is where the bigotry, the racism, the intolerance comes in from the left. We've talked about it before, that how much it has, how much has come from the liberal black leadership in this country. You can look at Mia Love. Mm-hmm. You can look at Senator Scott. You can look at how many blacks that have promoted more Republican or conservative ideas that are marginalized as to the legitimacy of their race, that they're truly Mia Love. I think they the one article came out and said she's, you know, truly not black. That if you don't think that all blacks must think a particular way, and if you do not, you're not black.
Right.
And that's the one thing, and you can tell from Kanye West, that's the one thing that infuriates him. You know, here is a, and here's the other part too. I mean, the whole thing when I think it was, again, Don Lemon saying that, you know, he has mental issues. That also coming out, that he's mentally unstable. Mm-hmm. How do you know?
Right.
An extremely successful person who I have disagreed with his opinions before. I have never talked about whether his whether his mental faculties make him sane or not. I would never do that. I don't do that about anybody. Neither do you. It never comes up.
No.
It's either is he correct or is he not correct? And the big message that he's trying to say is, I should be judged by the substance. He didn't say it the same way we did. We should be judged on the substance of our ideas, not the substance of our ideas based on our skin color.
Right.
Look, you can, in this day and age, we just finished 2 weeks where you must believe the allegation of a woman, irrespective of the evidence, to support the allegation. So, of course, liberals are going to be outraged because, okay, we believe that. We believe that white people think one way, black people think another way. That's the tolerant way that we believe that comes from the left. So, again, I think one of the things that the left just cannot permit, because it had come up earlier in the show when somebody said, yeah, but nobody said anything about Jim Brown. When Jim Brown was talking about the kneeling and talking about America and talking about how much he likes, you know, how much he likes Trump, there was really no blowback. We said, well, yeah, because for as much as I can look at a Jim Brown, and by the way, we're not going to talk about the quality of running backs. I got into that discussion earlier.
And boy, Jim Brown was the best.
Stop
and
it.
You guys know it.
So I got already beat up for that. I got more hate over just jumping into sports analysis for 2 seconds than I have any political analysis for the last year.
Let's just meet in the middle and say Jim Brown was the best.
Yes, right. Okay. But Jim Brown is not a part of pop culture.
He's not the influence to
not
the
even,
young, especially,
no,
and that
all.
Would be the key demographic for the Democrats that any pop star is, which is why they went crazy with Taylor Swift the other day.
How long's Kanye been around? About 20 years?
I don't know exactly.
I'm trying to think.
Been a while.
I'm trying to think.
25?
Who's been around long?
27? 25.
I remember meeting Jay-Z back in 97.
Yeah, Carlos is telling us 25.
25?
From the
control
room. All right, so,
So he's been around for 25 years.
Okay.
So somebody who was 15 and impacted by Kanye or 20 years old is now what? Right.
You're asking me to do math.
Well,
that's wrong.
We're talking about upper millennials at that point.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We're talking about a 40-year-old.
But still relevant to younger.
Oh, still relevant, yes. But I'm talking about just the time span. So you're talking about anybody from, let's say, right now, 15 years of age to 45.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's sort of been solidly for a long time more Democrat than Republican.
Yes, right.
And so it scares the daylights out of Democrats.
Well, because again, that is the, you know, if people stop and have the discussion, which they're doing, I mean, that's happening at kitchen tables. It's not a kid. Millennials don't have kitchen tables. they have McDonald's.
IKEA benches.
Exactly. No, right. Well, they have their parents' kitchen table. There is that.
Eric is saying all of this. I am not as intolerant on tables as he is.
My email is george@georgenori.com. The whole thing is, if you look at that behavior by the left, it is most often where that threat is, right? They really react more to where the threat is. If you look at the Kavanaugh thing, it was the threat of another constructionist being seated on the high court.
Right.
That was the ultimate threat.
Mm-hmm.
It whittles away at their attempt to whittle away at the Constitution. Right. They believed that they were on the right track and they were effective, and they had been and have been, you know, softening up the very tough skin of the Constitution along the way. But where is that done permanently or that has the, I guess, greater lasting power? It's at the high court. And they wanted to get away. They believed that they, you know, that if they could do away with Kavanaugh, there wouldn't be enough time before the election, and there wouldn't if he were not confirmed. But that's the where they go completely over the top, the direct approach, and now to the point, and they lost. And when they lose, the biggest losers like Hillary come out and jump on the bandwagon of what? We're going to forget about being civil. We're not going to be civil until we win. Well, for her, that's going to be never. But apparently, she's a multi-time loser. And she knows losing. If you want a loser expert, she's the person to go to. But when they lose, they go over the top. And their reaction, that's been happening since November 9th of 2016 in its current form. So this is it. That's a loss for them to have a relevant pop star say what he said. That is a threat.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, Taylor Swift earlier this week, oh, I'm getting my 15 minutes, and there comes Kanye, boom!
Yeah, right.
Out of here! Right. Get off the stage!
Yes, yeah, exactly. Because she was at an award show.
Yeah.
Nobody watches those, but everybody's talking about Kanye. I mean, seriously, it was one of those hold my beer moments.
But if you look at this entire week, and, you know, just looking back at this week before we head off on vacation, that, you know, we started at the beginning of the week, and really it was the fact that the message from the whole Kavanaugh hearings, if you believe in due process, you are a rapist enabler.
Right.
If you believe in the mindset of due process, that if you don't believe the allegation, that's how crazy it is. And you and I had talked about that over the last 30, 40, 50, 60 years, the number of lawyer shows on TV, starting with Perry Mason. You know, you go through Matlock. I'm probably missing a ton of them. What's the one with William Shatner or Boston Legal? Just throwing the and then Law and Order for almost the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Law and Order. Everybody understands. People may not know the three branches of government. They may not know the Constitution. They may not be able to tell you, you know, the freedoms you have in the First Amendment, all things that we have brought up over the last couple of months. It's part of our culture. It's part, you know, innocent until proven guilty, that evidence decides. That's something that's even beyond what we're taught about the infrastructure of how the Constitution works. That's part of our popular culture. It's in so many TV shows out there over the last 40 or 50 years. And I think it was a huge mistake and calculation by the Democrats to believe that they could sell that to the American people, because I guarantee if you're a Democrat out here right now, you know that was a stupid move by them.
Right.
That if they wanted to oppose Kavanaugh, but coming out with those statements that a woman is always to be believed, everyone knows is pure trash.
Yes.
Nobody is to always be believed just because of their demographic, their gender, their race, whatever. Everybody knows it's the evidence. But they actually tried to sell that to the American people. And you think about it, it's nuts. And then by the time we got to the middle of the week, it was the Democrats promoting incivility, including the mainstream of the Democratic Party, like Hillary Clinton. We saw Eric Holder come out, then backtrack. Oh, everybody knows that's not what I meant. And then somebody wrote, then don't use the word kick. And, you know, where we are, right now, looking at the polls and seeing how they're all going to react.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is also the wagging of the finger toward people simply for believing in the process. They're being indirectly condemned for doing so.
Yes.
Saying that you're essentially on a person's side. And right. That you support what we allege he did.
Right. Which goes against, and think about it. I think the perfect example, the perfect imagery is the ACLU, what they used to be, and the ACLU is as to what they have become today.
Yeah.
That the presumption of innocence means nothing to the American Civil Liberties Union anymore.
Right.
It shows you that something, a core of what Americans understand, and the ACLU probably did decades of damage to themselves by saying that doesn't matter. That the allegation matters by taking a side instead of defending the Constitution. And that's what it gets down to. And so, like I said, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. But it's amazing what the Democrats have tried to sell this week. Incivility and due process means nothing.
Right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The latest consumer price index shows no change for what we pay for food at the supermarkets and retail stores from the previous month. Yet, as USDA economist Anne-Marie Coons notes,
definitely some variation depending on which food you're purchasing.
In particular, lower prices were found in the perimeters of the store. Think meats, eggs, seafood, and fresh vegetables. While prices for items in the center aisles, like sodas and juices, and cereals and bakery products, rose. Coons adds there were exceptions to these trends. For example, in the outer sections of the store,
dairy prices did increase, but at a small amount. Fresh fruits were one of the larger increases month to month at 1%.
While in the center aisles,
the category that's given the most weight towards the overall CPI for food at home, just because as average American consumers, we purchase more of these items. The other food category that includes things like snacks, frozen entrees, those prices did remain unchanged in line with the overall food at home index.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. Wow. The video that came out yesterday against Kyrsten Sinema.
Yeah.
The speech she made in 2011. We'll have some of that coming up here following the bottom of the hour, what she actually said.
Part of the Senate race there in
right.
Arizona.
We'll have some of the quotes on that. Good news is Dow futures up. The president stating yesterday that plans on meeting with China again.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's what is helping the bounce back up, because
right.
we looked at the bad news over the last couple of days with the Fed dropping 1,300, and we said there's nothing he can do, nothing the president can do to stop what the Fed's going to do.
Right.
You're not going to stop it. Nothing he can do to stop the borrowing or the interest on the bonds.
Mm-hmm.
There's on the regulation of tech, that's more of a Congress thing. What can the president do? The president can give optimism that we're going to get a deal done with China. And he said we're going to, you know, meet yesterday. And hopefully that's one of the reasons that the stock market is tempered today.
Right.
Is the hope that a deal is going to be done.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah, because you see a sell-off like you saw in the past couple of days. And that's about people losing confidence in those companies that are issuing concerns over those raw materials especially, but tariffs overall. We'll see what happens with China. For Omnitrax, here's your forecast.
We'll see that region today, the Florida Panhandle, the Big Bend area, dry out under clear conditions. Good news for the region from Mother Nature. We can look at the entire Deep South and the Midwest today to see clear conditions, cooler conditions. There is the chance of some sprinkles, some remaining showers today for the Delmarva up through New Jersey and into New York City. But again, conditions will be improving. We've got a chance for some snow in portions of the Central Plains from South Dakota into Nebraska and over to Central Iowa. There'll be snow just north of the line and then a rain-snow mix. And as we get south into the system, into Kansas and portions of western Missouri, we'll see thunderstorms develop and all rain. Then as you move into Oklahoma and central Texas, light showers from the system. There's a look at your national weather forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Is The Outrage. Eric Hurley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Wow.
Mm.
Wow. You just shake your head over this one. There's a headline. I first saw it in Fox and did more research, and a bunch of people have it now. Arizona Senate hopeful implied state-produced, quote, crazy in 2011 speech. Representative Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, the Democrat who was running in a tightly contested U.S. Senate race, implied that her home state produced, quote, crazy in a 2011 speech in which she promised to advise liberal activists how to stop your state from becoming Arizona. Some critics are comparing the remarks to Hillary Clinton's infamous comments about Trump supporters being deplorables.
Mm-hmm.
An edited version of her speech to the Texas Stonewall Democratic Caucus, a Democrat LGBT group in Texas, was posted on Twitter on Thursday by an anonymous conservative group. A longer version of the speech is available on YouTube. In the speech, she recounts how she was taught at a young age that Arizona was known for five C's, cattle, copper, citrus, cotton, and climate. But I would add a sixth C, she added. It's called crazy. Sinema, a one-time Green Party activist, has fashioned herself as a moderate, willing to work with both parties in her contest against fellow U.S. Representative Martha McSally.
Apparently not. Yeah.
The thing is, I have the audio, but it's really low. So I'll read you the quotes.
Right.
Okay. It's just, I play the audio, but it's just, it was, you know, taking.
You don't hear her as much because someone is recording it. You hear the people closer to the person recording it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Here's a quote. Over the past several years, people would watch what's happening in Arizona and be like, damn, those people are crazy. Is it something about the water? No, the water's fine. We stole it from Colorado. There's nothing wrong in the water. There's something wrong with the people in office in Arizona. And that's the end of quote. Then a new quote. And people say, oh, the Tea Party, please. Those people have been in charge for like 20 years in Arizona. They're called Republicans. Tea Party Republican. It's the same thing. It's called crazy. End of quote.
All right.
In her speech, she attacked attempts by Republican state legislature in Arizona to crack down on illegal immigration and called it anti-immigrant. She also was there some. Oh, I read you the other part of it.
Right. Yeah. That the main part.
So there you go.
Calling the people of Arizona crazy.
we would suggest to the McSally campaign.
Well, if you want, if your goal is to work in the Senate, the United States Senate, and represent the people of Arizona, just for starters, don't call the people of that state crazy.
You know, and at times she focused in on the Republicans, but at times she did not when she used the term crazy.
Sure. So assume she, because she's probably going to say, well, Republicans are crazy. But she's probably, that might be how she defends herself. Which, by the way,
that would hurt her because she's trying to position herself as somebody who is bipartisan and willing to listen to both sides.
So just assume that, okay, because you can hear it already. She was just talking about the crazy Republicans. Well, not for somebody who says they're going to be a moderate and work with both parties. Because keep in mind, I mean, this is the Jeff Flake seat, but it's also the state that was represented by the late John McCain, and the left hailed him after he passed for being someone who essentially rose above politics and worked with both sides. Actually, that was not the case and they weren't describing it, his behavior in the Senate, correctly. He moved to the left. They didn't move to the right, to be clear. But on that point, she is trying to position herself and appeal to the people that might have supported a John McCain, right?
Yeah. Cuomo can get away with saying conservatives aren't welcome in New York.
Right. Yes.
Even the ones that are there.
Yeah, because we know that.
Right.
He's being honest.
You can get away with that in New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can get away with probably saying it in California.
Right.
And you could be a Democrat and say, look, I know all the people are nuts. Everybody here is crazy. We're nuts.
Right.
And still get elected as long as you promote Democrat values. Might be a little bit different in Arizona.
That's where the difference is, because you had essentially two, historically speaking, soft Republicans.
I remember he said that extreme conservatives who oppose abortion and support gun rights have no place in this state.
Yeah.
That's a huge number of people in New York State,
yes.
By the way.
By the way, you know, that's that terminology thing. And I know I'm splitting hairs and preaching to the choir in terms of our audience. It's not gun rights. It's my rights.
The gun doesn't actually.
The gun doesn't have any rights.
The gun has no rights.
The gun doesn't have any rights. I assume all of the gun's rights when I put it in my cold, live fingers.
Right. It's the people's right.
Yes.
Very interesting. I just want to get to this topic because you happen to bring this up, and I didn't know about this, but employees on the Las Vegas Strip fear being replaced by robots. And you were telling me there's actually these, and I'm looking at it right now, that they've come up with these drink robots that will make bartenders obsolete.
Yes. And you can come, the design I've seen, I don't know if this is in place in Vegas just yet, but the design I've seen also includes you walk up to the kiosk, or the kiosk is even embedded into the counter, like they do the, they actually have like, if you go up to a bar in a gambling city, for those who don't gamble or never been, when you sit at a bar, you can get your drinks actually for free if you're gambling, and they'll put that right there at the seat. There is a video poker thing you can play, right? And by the way, the drink's not free. It'll cost you whatever you lose in video poker, to be clear.
You mean they're not giving anything free?
No. They don't just say, let's buy a bunch of alcohol and lose money on it. Nope. Getting back to the robot thing, not sure what the strippers will look like, but for the bar, they'll move away from bartending.
Oh man, robot bartenders, robot brothels.
Yeah.
Because I guess, by the way, we never really talked about, we did talk about Houston, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did last week. Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, if you think about, remember the old, and I guess they still have them, the coffee vending machine would make you a cup of coffee?
Yes, yes.
I always go back to Terminator 2. The security guard making the, or it was a cop. It was a cop, actually, that went to make a cup of coffee. Didn't work out too well.
No, it didn't.
As T2 walked up behind him and then became him, which was weird. But you think about robotics in serving food, that's been around for a while, but it will be different in a bar like this where you go up and you basically order it, you know, and, you know, then type it in. You're going to insert your credit card. And then all of a sudden, the drink is going to be made and even delivered to you, depending on the setup on the counter, by automation. You know, I think of John Taffer, a guy who has a pretty good business or has over the years in Las Vegas, and also from the Bar Rescue. You're never going to see a, well, first of all, there's no way to steal from the till. I'm not blaming bartenders for that. I'm not condemning all bartenders, but that does happen in a business. And, you know, Taffer has caught it where they were, you know, skimming or whatever from the register. But even to a greater extent, pouring way too heavy, right?
Right.
A robot's not going to do that.
Well, but,
either one.
But here's the other point, because I was thinking the same thing. I'd ask John Taffer, how far can you go with the robot bartender?
Mm-hmm.
Can a regular bar be all robots?
Right.
And just a person walking around, or do you have to? Is there a, because he talks about the science of a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the science of the bar is about people and interaction.
And a robot can't be pleasant. Trust me, I know a few of them.
Well, a robot also can't be angry either.
Right.
Can't be an angry bartender.
Right.
Can't be a drunk bartender.
Well, there's that.
But how far do you go with the science of it? I mean, I can see this working totally in a place like Vegas where the focus is gambling, not communicating with the bartender or not walking into your corner bar.
So my wife and I recently went to a place that had a robot roulette wheel. Now, we walked by it several times. We didn't look at it because it was often like they have there's poker and blackjack where you walk up and the screen has, you know, a dealer, but it's animated, right? And so the whole table is animated, the cards are animated. Well, on this roulette, that's what I thought I thought it was all animated. It's an actual wheel in the center. And you're not close to everyone. It's not crowded like a real roulette table. And so we thought, okay, let's see how this works. And it was interesting. We played it for a few minutes and it was interesting because I said, you know, that's not the animation thing. It still gives you the view of a real roulette wheel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's important for a lot of people. They don't trust
right.
the animation.
Right, exactly.
Well, in the case of a Vegas in a bar setting, there's a couple of settings you're going to be in. Nightclub kind of setting, and nightclubs are huge in Vegas, where they don't care. They just want the drink. It's not your pub
right.
setting where,
exactly.
where the bartender
right.
needs to be pleasant, needs to be
right.
a companion for and carry maybe a little bit of a conversation on with you. In Vegas, it's not that. It's not that. For the most part, it's either the gamblers or, like I said, the nightclubs, and no one cares anything except about the alcohol when it comes to the bar. It's all about the alcohol. It'll be interesting to see how far this goes.
I want to be alive when they come out with the home version of the robot bartender.
Ah, yeah.
You go in, you walk into right. your house and... Basically, you've got bottles that you insert, vodka, whatever. I mean,
right,
10
right.
different types of alcohol that you put in there.
Right.
And the mixer and everything else. And then you just walk into your house and you say, Alexa, give me a screwdriver.
There you go. Oh, and then she hands you a Phillips. No, Alexa. I need alcohol.
I need alcohol.
Then it's isopropyl alcohol. No, Alexa. Drinking alcohol.
866.
Alexa, I want to get drunk.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This engine report is brought to you by Detroit. The DD15 is designed to provide its peak power and torque between 1,000 and 1,500 RPMs. This fuel economy sweet spot means there isn't much more power available at 1,800 RPM than at 1,400. The only thing being accomplished is burning more fuel without any real benefit. While cruising, try to keep the engine between 1,050 and 1,450 RPMs for maximum efficiency. Also, upshift around 1,650 RPMs or sooner to stay in the sweet spot. Speed is the enemy of fuel economy. On average, every 1 mile per hour increase in road speed above 55 costs 0.1 mpg, which adds up by the mile. Cruising in the high 50 to low 60 mph range can help you get the most out of every gallon of fuel. Ultimately, traffic on surface roads and stoplights will impact travel time far more than a few mph on the highway.
For Shell Rotella, that's the engine report.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly and I'm Gary McNamara. So we're getting ready to apparently go on vacation, but we're not really going on vacation because the thing we're going to be doing is watching the polls the entire time. I know you're going to be doing the same thing I'm doing.
Yeah, I will be because I'm really curious as to where those toss-ups are going to be, both in the Senate and the House. But the House, I think, is one to watch. I'll say it like I said it in 2016 when I said, don't believe everything you hear on Pennsylvania. Well, don't believe everything that you're seeing right now on the polls in the House. Because of the fact that so much can change and will change. I'm not saying it's going to be one way or the other. I have no idea if the Democrats will gain control or not. But you look at what's going on since the Kavanaugh thing, and those are the polls to pay attention to. And the left isn't letting up. They've moved on from Kavanaugh. But moving on for them was...
to incivility.
To being less than civil. We're not going to be civil. All of these comments will mean something politically. It may not be a part of that district, but it's national and sometimes motivates people, especially people in the center and on the right. And we'll be back a week from Monday. By the way, thank you to our friend Rick, who's going to be filling in next week. He'll be here, Rick Roberts, all week with you.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.